Welcome to the Self-Explained podcast. My name is Katie O'Donoghue. I am your host and relationship coach who is here to guide you into rewiring your patterns so that you can rewire your relationships and life. So I'm coming on today with a podcast that I wasn't going to do, but then again, I was reflecting and I was thinking, actually, it might be an important episode for people to listen to if they're on their own healing journey or personal growth journey. So I've been reflecting on self-sabotage and how that might impact someone's healing journey and reasons why people choose to stop doing the work on themselves or to never start doing the work on themselves. And this meant reflecting on my own experiences and becoming curious around where I felt my own resistances and at what point I actually started to question if I should continue along my journey or not, because I had those experiences and I will talk about them. When I think back, it brings up a little bit of giggles because I'm like, wow, Katie. But I did a bit of research online and it actually seems like this is a pretty big problem globally. So whether you see a counselor, a coach, a psychologist, or another practitioner, the stats that I came across about dropout rates and reasons as to why people discontinue were actually mind-blowing. So it went from 20% to 70%, and this was usually in sessions 1 to 3 that people would drop out, which surprised me in some ways, but also it really didn't surprise me at all because doing the work on yourself is still really stigmatized. It requires time, it requires energy, it requires money, it requires a willingness to make changes in your life and a willingness to open up about yourself to someone that is essentially a stranger or a new face. And that's uncomfortable for a lot of people. That's scary. That's anxiety inducing. So I really do get why people might contemplate a session, cancel, never show up, or have one session and then just completely change their mind about their journey. I get it. But I've been mulling over this and I was like, should I do it? Should I not do it? So I decided to go ahead because I think I would have wanted something like this at the start of my journey. I would have wanted someone to tell me what to expect, what to do, what to be aware of when it comes to deciding to turn inwards and understand yourself and heal yourself. But when it came to my journey, I want to start by saying no one around me really talked about going to see a therapist or a practitioner of any kind. And I had experiences which were quite negative and shame-based when I actually started to talk about my feelings quite openly. So I spoke about them to newspapers after I was in a public traumatic accident to raise awareness on mental health, but also to show the dark side of what can happen at music festivals. But the response that I had gotten from a few people in my life at the time almost made me not want to continue therapy altogether because the story in my mind was, this is something to be ashamed about. People are going to hurt me or reject me if I continue to talk about my struggles. But I didn't stop therapy. In fact, I actually did the opposite in the end. And I became even more curious around psychological health and personal growth because it was a massive red flag in my eyes that people were not supporting me. And not just any people, but people close to me. They were not able to be supportive or support me in the way that I needed them to during what was a really traumatic and difficult time for me. So it was the start of my wake-up call. Why were people responding in this way when this is actually something that is quite a challenge for me? So I'll dip in and out of my experiences as we go along, but hopefully this episode will help you or someone that you know to either take a step and get the right support on their journey, or maybe this episode will help you or someone that you know to feel a little less alone in their experience and a little more connected. But I'll start by saying, in a relationship, dependence is normal. Despite what's out there, we all need to feel connected and to feel safe in the way that we connect with someone. But for many people, and my past self included, dependence can sometimes feel threatening, or it can actually become threatening over time, especially when you think of it in the context of a romantic relationship. The dynamic can shift over time. You may feel safe at the start, depending on someone, but something happens, a pattern's co-created, and then suddenly you don't really feel safe depending on them anymore. And there are many reasons around this as to why you might feel threatened if you were to actually depend on someone. So I'll talk about my struggles first on that note, and then give you a few more examples of how you might self-sabotage on your healing journey. So one of my core patterns was don't talk, don't trust, and don't feel. So if you haven't listened to earlier episodes, this is actually quite a common pattern for many people who grew up in a home similar to mine. So where there is an alcohol disorder, elements of abuse, neglect. So it basically brings out this pattern in you because no one wants to talk about what's going on. You don't really feel safe to trust people. And coupled with that, you don't really know how to make sense of your feelings through the ups and the downs of that life experience. So for me, this meant never talking about what was going on in my closest relationships or personal life, never trusting people to be there to support me or to help me meet my needs, and basically just completely disconnecting from my feelings because it was just too overwhelming and too confronting if I actually paid attention to what was going on within me. Now, when I take that pattern, so don't trust, don't talk, don't feel, and I apply that to my healing journey, it meant that opening up to a therapist at the start was really hard. And I was quite manipulative at dodging and deflecting questions, trying to protect myself from feeling pain. So I was self-sabotaging in session because I wasn't opening up fully. And when you don't open up fully or tell the whole truth in therapy, then you're painting only half of the picture, which means you'll never get the full support that you need from a therapist, from a practitioner, from a coach, or whoever it is that you're seeing, if they don't actually know what's going on in your life, what's going on in your world, what's going on in your relationships. And they can't read your mind, although they definitely can pick up on cues or how you avoid things or redirect the conversation to something outside of yourself. And when I notice this in session with a client, I make them aware of the pattern, because if you aren't aware of the pattern, it can make it very hard for you to actually change the pattern itself. Now, on the other side of this, I subconsciously anticipated rejection and abandonment from other people when it came to depending on them for support. Again, this was created in childhood. So this was a childhood pattern where I had lived experiences and belief systems created about people not being there for me if I needed support, people rejecting me or abandoning me if I actually reached out. So this was kind of like the story, the belief that I created to make sense of my world and relationships at the time. So again, when I take that pattern and apply it to my healing journey, so the pattern of expecting rejection and abandonment, then naturally I'm going to hold back and have doubts about continuing if I fear that someone's going to reject me or abandon me if I actually open up and talk about my feelings or what's going on. Or maybe I'll consider abandoning or rejecting my therapist first before they can do what I am anticipating them to do, which is reject or abandon me. Now, the real truth here is that no therapist or coach or practitioner who is genuinely good at their job and self-aware of their own patterns and potential transference or counter-transference, they're never going to reject or abandon you. They want you to feel safe. And they are also aware that you may not feel safe or trusting of them for a couple of sessions, which is why it's important that you give your practitioner time to support you and that you give yourself time to try and open up, especially if you're aware of things that are not serving you in your life or in your relationships. So don't allow yourself to self-sabotage, because you will stay stuck in the same place if you do, repeating the same patterns and drawing into you those painful or disconnected relationships if you don't actually allow yourself time to work through the pain within you. So I'm going to get real honest with you right now. When I started my journey 5 years ago, I would come out of the sessions with my therapist really angry, really resentful, because I couldn't understand why she was being so intrusive, to be perfectly honest. She would be asking me these questions about my life. I would be circling around in my head, wondering why she asked about specific areas. And I was cursing her in my mind, thinking, you know, how dare she actually ask me that? I can't believe she even asked me that. And so I was sitting in the car after therapy sessions going, I'm not going back to this. This is not worth my time. This is not worth my energy. Fuck this. But what I didn't know then, in those moments of pain, I guess, they were moments of pain because someone was paying attention to me. But what I didn't know back then, but what I do know now, is that my brain was trying to protect me. And the way it was trying to protect me was by rejecting help from my therapist, by trying to reject her, because for the first time in a very long time, someone was focusing on my needs and my feelings, and that was painful for me. But she was focusing on what I needed to feel better, to feel supported, to feel clear in my thinking. But I went down that kind of negative route of rejecting her and trying to find faults in her, because going to get help and talking about what was going on within me was not a normal pattern for me in my relationships, because my normal was an outward focus. So I would focus on helping other people and doing things to meet their needs or to keep them happy or to help them through their pain. And it was basically all with the intention of not having to pay attention to my needs, to what would make me happy, and to what would actually help me feel less pain. So, of course, you know, when I look back now, it makes sense that my brain in those moments was trying to keep me in my familiar patterns, in my quote unquote normal, which was actually incredibly self-sabotaging. So on that note, I want to say that your brain doesn't like to make changes because it requires energy and it requires effort, which is why we often stay in the same habits or patterns of thinking or patterns of feeling, because it's easy. So just be mindful of when you start to make changes on your journey or in your life or in your relationships, and how your brain starts to respond and actually keep you stuck in the familiar. So on that note, maybe grab a journal and pen. But my question to you today is, what do you tell yourself about your healing journey? So how do you hold yourself back from healing or from making some important changes? And on that note, what does that teach you about your quote unquote normal way of relating to others outside of therapeutic space, maybe? because your patterns repeat in any kind of a relationship. So in case you're wondering, I didn't stop therapy. I still go to therapy, and I've gone even deeper in more recent years because I understand the effect it has on my mind and my body even. But I'm going to put a bit of a trigger warning in here now. So if you're in any way not feeling 100% today, maybe take a pause and come back to this when you're feeling a little bit more safe in your feelings or in your mindset. But trigger warning, at the start of my journey, I forced myself to go to a practitioner because I was in a mental health crisis, because I had openly told my dad after my accident that I was suicidal and having some pretty heavy thoughts. And it was because I no longer, in my eyes, looked perfect. And therefore, I thought I wasn't lovable. And it wasn't the first time that I had dark thoughts. Now that I look back on my journey, I had suicidal thoughts on several occasions, specifically to do with some of my closest relationships, because things were really bad and dysfunctional a lot of the time, but no one knew. Like I say, don't talk, don't feel, don't trust. But also, I was so, so good at pretending to be perfect that no one could see the real me deep down. And this explains my drink use and drug use over the years, amongst several other unhelpful and destructive and abusive habits that I had. They were all created to help me escape from my pain. So I forced myself to continue therapy, even though I felt incredibly resentful towards my therapist at the start. But I was trying to enable myself to get help. And the way I did that was just saying, okay, you're feeling negative towards your therapist. Let's just give it time, because I recognized I needed help. And I was done with trying to fake it. I was done with trying to be strong. I was done with spending money on things that I didn't need. I was done with spending time focusing on other people instead of focusing on myself. And that's what really got me to where I was at the time. I was not putting time, energy, or money into myself because I didn't believe that I deserved it. The other side of this was I had decided, because I'd hit that rock bottom, I decided that, you know, there were two options: to continue and see where that takes me with the dark thoughts, or to make a choice to choose to learn how to feel good, to learn how to feel in control of my mind, and to feel at ease with making choices without anxiety or fears clogging up my inner space. So on that note, I want to give you another question again. What will it take for you to start your journey, or for you to maybe continue along it if you tried to start and then you took some time away because something came up that you weren't maybe ready yet to face? What is it going to take for you to go back or to continue or to start your journey? So I can tell you now, don't wait until you're at a crisis point like I did, because like that was not what I really needed. I wish that I had reached out for support way earlier than that, but I just didn't feel safe to do that because I thought people would see that I was broken, getting upset. I thought that people would think I was broken. But getting support these days is becoming way less stigmatized, and people are seeing it as a preventative rather than a solution for when they reach breaking point. So people are kind of changing their perception of doing the work on themselves or reaching out for support. Some people are coming to me and they see it as an upskilling themselves on how to do life and on how to do relationships. because let's be real, we do not actively learn those skills growing up, unless you're one of very few people who had emotionally mature primary caregivers that really taught you the ins and the outs of your feelings and what to do to self-manage, to self-soothe. But most of us have never learned those skills because, let's be real again, maybe our parents and the people before them never learned them. So it's just another pattern to become curious on that note. But you going out to get support with a practitioner of your choosing is you investing in yourself. It's you saying, yes, I want to learn skills that can actually help me to survive through the ups and the downs of life itself. But I get it, right? It's not easy to do because maybe you still have some resistances to your journey. So I'm going to take you through more generalized examples now, because I think I've talked quite a bit about my journey. If you're still with me on this episode, then amazing, let's continue. But I'm going to start with, maybe you're an anxiously attached person like me. One of the most important things for you to be aware of is your fear of rejection and abandonment and how that might actually play out when you go see a practitioner. So it can enable you to feel resentful towards a practitioner, as was the case in my experiences. So just be mindful of your self-talk, especially if you find yourself saying things like, things are never going to go right for me. Why would they want to support me? I don't deserve this. Or if you find yourself focusing on finding a fault in your therapist or focusing on the bad things after a session, this is potentially your brain trying to get you to reject or abandon your practitioner to escape your own fears of being rejected or abandoned by someone, in this case, your practitioner, or to help you escape the responsibility of having to deal with your pain. Also, be mindful of becoming too busy for your healing journey, because I did this. I'm going to hold my hands up. I threw myself into 60-hour working weeks, which is fucking insane. But that's what I did. Pretty much a couple of weeks after my accident, I had gotten a new part-time job and I was working the family business, and I just did pretty much anything to try and avoid my feelings and my thoughts. And then this just ended up being me tricking myself into thinking, I don't have time to go see a therapist. I'm too busy. So just be mindful of how you keep yourself too busy, in quotes, to do the work on yourself. Also, be mindful of withdrawing, because if you have patterns of not receiving help or support in your earlier years or of being dismissed, then there is a chance that you will find it difficult to accept or receive care or support from a therapist, for example, because as a child, one of your biggest wounds might have been not receiving that. Also, anxiously attached people, you have that attachment style from inconsistent caregiving. So take that pattern and apply it to a therapeutic relationship. If your therapist is consistently there for you, be mindful that this is not a norm in your life of having people being there for you consistently. And so you might actually reject this or come up with reasons to not consistently stick to sessions. This might make you question your journey in general of should you even bother? And I say this, like I say, because some of these things I did myself, but it's just I'm giving you this information with the hopes that you can be curious on your own resistances or patterns around taking that step. Now, on the other side of this, for avoidance, this might be a bit obvious because avoidant in itself kind of gives the meaning of what happens in a relationship, but avoidant people, avoidant attachment styles, you avoid intimacy and vulnerability in relationships in general. So be mindful of how you might behave along your healing journey with a practitioner if distance in a relationship is one of your core themes. So maybe your self-talk might be something like, I can do this on my own, right? Super self-reliant, independent. You don't need to depend on someone in a relationship, definitely not your practitioner. Or maybe it's, I'll be better off by myself. I don't need to do this. Again, avoiding your feelings, trying to push them down so you don't have to confront your pain. It's a little bit of a protection mechanism. Or just the tendency to avoid talking about yourself and your inner world in general, or to keep the sharing of your personal world to a minimum, because again, it's going to bring up pain for you. And to feel pain, you have to be able to sit with your feelings and to pay attention to them. But as an avoidant, it was likely that this is not a pattern for you. So maybe you prioritize other things in your life so you can avoid attending a session, whether that's a work meeting, a holiday, or just canceling and then not making another booking. Just become curious on what comes up for you on your journey. And finally, as well, I want to put this in, similar to an anxiously attached person, you might also try and reject your practitioner. So maybe you assume some sort of malicious intent in your practitioner's actions, or you might only see the negative side. And again, this is you trying to find an escape out of your journey, so you have some distance with your feelings and your emotions. Sometimes it's also maybe because you might not believe you deserve love or closeness from anyone in a relationship, including the one with your practitioner. And for a little bit of background into your attachment style, if you're not aware of it, and your attachment style was likely created by primary caregivers who were emotionally unavailable or unresponsive most of the time for various reasons. So outside of, the avoidant and the anxiously attached, so maybe stepping away from an attachment theory lens of self-sabotage on your healing journey, sometimes you might not connect with your therapist or coach or practitioner, and that's okay. But don't self-sabotage by overgeneralizing or assuming that every session with every practitioner is going to feel that way or is going to go that way. So it's okay to try out a few practitioners and to then make a choice on who to stick with, but also maybe consider communicating to your practitioner about what felt off for you or about ending your journey with them, because you can actually grow through that. Sometimes they'll want to unpack it with you, which is actually helpful to you in a relationship. Now, if you can't communicate this to your practitioner, I want to pull this pattern out. Maybe this is a pattern for you to become curious on, because open communication about anything, the good, the bad, the ugly, that is key for any kind of a relationship to be successful. So the self-sabotage pattern here is you not communicating or speaking up, because again, how can you receive support or help or guidance if they don't know what you're truly thinking or feeling on your journey? And again, just be curious as to whether that's a pattern in your other relationships too. Now, the other side of this as well are understanding your expectations around your journey and what you're expecting the practitioner to do and how long you think it will take for you to reach your goals. Now, not knowing your expectations is a form of self-sabotage, because it puts you at risk for abandoning or ending your journey before you even get to session 2 or 3. For me, I knew when I needed to change practitioners after a certain amount of time, because I felt that inner shift, but also because I realized that the healing I was seeking was different to what I was getting from my first therapist. And so that's how I knew I was at my end point, because I had reached that kind of level of completion with that particular type of therapist, which was a psychologist. So I moved from a psychologist to a coach briefly, and then from a coach to a psychotherapist. And all of them had different skill sets and niches. So just be curious about your expectations and what it is that you need. But just so you have another example here on expectations, if you have patterns and self-expectations of trying to be the best or improving at a fast speed or getting things done quickly or getting things done the right way, just be mindful of that self-talk around not improving fast enough, around it going slowly, around the perfect healing journey, or maybe it's around feeling like a failure on your journey and therefore not being the best at personal growth or healing. This journey is a slow process. It has its ups, it has its downs. It's not a linear journey, because you might feel one day that you're going 10 steps forward, the next day you could feel like you're going 5 steps backwards. But also, you know, it's a slow journey because there are actual risks involved if you go too fast. And the risk is something like overwhelm or too much pain comes up, which can enable you to end the journey itself. Equally, another thing to just be mindful of is you are the only person who can really make the changes. So if you hold an expectation of your practitioner, or if you tend to point fingers at them when things aren't changing for you, become curious in why that is. Sometimes, the practitioner is useless, okay? Because I have heard stories. And what I will say, if you've had that experience, try another one, okay? Because let's not generalize everyone or paint everyone with the same brush. Try another one, and don't be afraid of giving feedback, because that can actually help the practitioner to assess where things went wrong or didn't go to plan or to what was expected on their side. But just become curious, as all I say, is there a pattern again there for you in those moments that maybe you're not noticing changes, or maybe you are, but things are getting a bit tough and suddenly you want to escape that feeling, and maybe you do it by pointing fingers. And I say that again because I look at my experiences and the resentment I felt at the start of my journey and the thoughts I was having. I'm like, maybe it was a little bit of that going on for me. I was making changes, but it was getting tough and I had expectations that weren't really clear. So just be curious, right? Be curious in what kind of support you need. And also maybe ask the practitioner or a coach or a therapist or whoever it is what modalities they use and why they use those things. Ask yourself as well how many sessions you feel you need and over what period of time you feel is doable to do this work, right? Those are super important questions to become curious on, because if you don't know what it is that you need or how many sessions you think you need or what kind of time frame is doable for you, again, you're putting yourself at risk to completely end your journey. And that's self-sabotage. If you know that you need to address things and you exit out early, you are self-sabotaging. You are preventing yourself from having happiness, from having internal peace, or whatever it is that you want to actually achieve by doing this work. So on that note as well, I want to say, just be curious on what kind of change you are actually looking for, because otherwise, if you don't know what kind of a change you're looking for, it's kind of like you're on a ship and you're going out to sea and you're sailing, but you don't actually know where that final destination is or what direction you're supposed to be going in, and you'll get lost at sea. You might even go back to where you initially set out from. So in that case, you'll stay stuck and you won't move because you don't know where your final destination is and the steps that you want or the changes that you need to see for you to get to that destination. So just so you have an example for what I'm talking about here, because I'm not sure if it's coming out in the best way. Let's say you want a loving relationship with someone and your experiences have been predominantly negative to date. So this is your motivation for booking in a session with a practitioner. Maybe part of your journey means understanding what creates an unloving relationship and identifying what behaviors you have that enable that pattern. Because the pattern is co-created in a relationship. It takes two people to enable toxic or unhelpful cycles. Now, maybe part of the change you're looking for is also being with someone and being able to confidently set a boundary, or if you've had a tendency in the past to criticize, which can sometimes be the subconscious rejecting a person, maybe you want to not show up in that way in a relationship. So maybe the other side of this is not losing control of your emotions, so not exploding on another person when maybe they forget to pick up your favorite drink in the shop, for example. So think about what you're struggling with and what the opposite of that might look like. And that's kind of the change that you're looking for. Again, what that might feel within you. If you're no longer, we'll say, criticizing someone, for example, which can create stress, the change that you're looking for is feeling good, acceptance, not feeling bothered by, you know, a perceived flaw in your eyes and this other person as well. So I hope that gives you some clarity as to what I mean here. But my point is, if you aren't sure what kind of healing you need, or maybe it's what kind of a practitioner you need, maybe try out a few different approaches or a few different practitioners and just see what resonates with you before completely writing off your journey altogether, where the only person that is actually suffering in that situation is you, because you're holding yourself back, you're self-sabotaging, you're keeping yourself from creating a life or a relationship with self or with others that you likely want deep down. So that's all that I got for this episode. I hope it has given you some different ways of looking at things, of looking at your own journey, where your potential resistances may come up. But as always, if you like this episode, I would really appreciate it if you could give it a rating, or if you could hit the subscribe button to the podcast, because we're going to have episodes every 2 weeks. And guess what I should say on that is I intentionally make them every 2 weeks, so you can have that time in between episodes to digest the information and to become curious on the topic that I have discussed. So thank you for listening, and I will catch you on the next episode.